Welcome to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. We dive into stories of true crime, from unsolved cold cases to historic kidnapping to gangsters and beyond. We are your source for true crime. We thank you for listening.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouthwatering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle, available at your neighborhood Tim Horton's. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
You're watching a Highwire Media podcast.
Welcome to another episode of Cold Case Friday. This week, we dive into the story of the Beethoven child actor who vanished without a trace. For those of you who are around the same age as I am, you likely remember the Beethoven movies growing up. They were super popular in the 90s and featured the very giant, slobbery, and lovable St. Bernard, who was adopted in the Newton family. The series went on to include Beethoven's 2nd, Beethoven's 3rd, Beethoven's 4th, Beethoven's 5th, and a few more spin-offs. One of the characters from Beethoven's 3rd, Beethoven's 4th, was a little boy named Brennan Newton, who was a member of the extended Newton family and played by child actor Joe Pickler. But many people are not aware of the tragic story surrounding Joe Pickler, who would disappear in 2006 when he was just 18 years old. In fact, Joe is still missing to this day, and authorities have no idea what happened to this young man who had such a bright future ahead of him in Hollywood. Joe was born on February 14, 1987, so he was only a year older than me. He was the 4th child of a family of 5 kids, and his parents started him acting at a very young age. He began his career at just 4 years old by landing a few roles in commercials and videos shot in Seattle, Washington, where the family lived. But it became pretty clear that Joe, who had these big brown eyes and an adorable baby face, had a true talent for acting, and that if the Pickler family made the move to LA, he might be able to hit big. His first big gig was a small role in the 96 movie The Fan, which starred Robert De Niro and Wesley Snipes. From there, things moved pretty quickly, and he landed roles in Touched by an Angel, Promised Land, and Lois and Clark before being picked up for the Beethoven movies. Even though he was on the fast track now, and Hollywood can be a really volatile place, particularly for young actors, Joe seemed to stay away from the bad stuff and try to keep a wholesome image. In a 2001 interview with the Kitsap Sun, he said, quote, "I've said no to sex and drugs. I don't want to get typecast. I'd much rather do movies than TV. I like the whole atmosphere of changing characters and meeting new people." His final role before his disappearance would be in 2002 in the independent film Children on Their Birthdays. He was one of the main characters in the story, playing Billy Bob Murphy, a little boy who falls in love with a new girl in town. He acted right alongside Jesse Plemons, who was also an up-and-coming child star at the time, and has now achieved a ton of success and fame in Hollywood. Unfortunately, Joe would never get that opportunity to do the same. In 2003, when he was just a teenager living out the insanely busy schedule of an actor in LA, his family insisted he come home, back to Bremerton, Washington, to lay it low for a while, take a break, and really figure out what he wanted to do in life, whether that was acting or something else. He wasn't immediately thrilled at the idea of giving up acting and coming home, but once he got back to his hometown and closer to family, he settled in. He was able to graduate from his high school in 2005, and decided he wanted to return to acting in LA once his braces would be off the following year. He had a pretty unique living situation. Yes, he was a teenager, but he was a teenager who had money in the bank from all of his acting jobs, so he had his own place located across town from where his parents and siblings lived. He also received a significant amount of money from his trust fund after turning 18. His friends probably thought it was the coolest thing ever. He found a full-time job to keep him busy as a telephone technician at a company called Teletech. It wasn't the glamorous lifestyle he had been exposed to, but he was honestly just a good kid who wanted to make an honest living while he waited to return to his acting career. He really was just like any other kid his age. His family would say that he had a pet guinea pig he loved, and he enjoyed playing with magic cards. Overall, things in Washington was just completely typical and normal. There weren't any red flags to suggest that something terrible might happen. But in January of 2006, something would go wrong and Joe would simply vanish without a trace. I know it's impossible for a person to just vanish, but with the details that we know, it really feels like he just disappeared into thin air. Here's what we know from the last time anyone heard from Joe. The date was January 5th, 2006. Earlier in the evening, Joe had a few drinks with friends and played magic cards. He appeared to be in good spirits. Nothing seemed out of the ordinary. He would drive two of his friends home, and the other two would find their own way home. After they had all left, his mood apparently changed. He stayed up all night, into the morning, continuing to drink alcohol. Around 4:15 in the morning, Joe called one of his good friends, Justin, who had been playing cards earlier in the evening. Justin said that Joe was clearly intoxicated and described him as inconsolable. Something wasn't right. But Joe wasn't making a whole lot of sense. He told Justin that he had to go, but he'd call him back in an hour. He would never make that call back. No one would see or hear from Joe again. His friends and family became worried when they couldn't reach him the following day. Around 7 p.m. the next evening, Joe's mom, Kathy, sent her son and Joe's brother, AJ, to his apartment to check on him. When AJ arrived, he found the apartment unlocked and the lights were left on. They would say this was not normal or typical at all for Joe to leave his apartment unlocked and with the lights on. He decided to wait around for about an hour to see if Joe would return, but when he didn't, AJ turned off the lights and locked the apartment. The next day, on January 6, Joe's mother, Kathy, decided to go to his apartment herself. Again, he wasn't there, and there was no indication that he had been there in the last couple of days. At this point, Kathy calls the police to report Joe is missing. She continues to search for her son. She calls all of his friends to see what they know. She went to Joe's workplace, but they told her that he had not shown up to work and had never called in sick. Allegedly at this point, Kathy asked AJ to gather a group of Joe's friends to help with the search, and AJ called a few people up, including Justin, the young man who Joe had called in the early morning hours before he disappeared. And allegedly, according to AJ, the pair got into Justin's car and drove around looking for any signs of Joe. In AJ's opinion, Justin seemed to be taking deliberate turns and directions that led directly to Joe's parked car. It was 4 days later, on January 9, 2006, that Joe's 2005 silver Toyota Corolla would be found by Justin and AJ, completely abandoned. It was parked behind a restaurant about a half mile from the Port Madison Narrows, which is a large body of water. Inside the car, police would find a two-page letter they described as a suicide note. Joe's family has described it as two pages of poetry and some other ramblings, including a sentiment about how he wanted to be a stronger brother to his siblings, and how he wanted his younger brother to have some of his belongings. But his family didn't believe this was a suicide note at all. At this point, the police basically stopped investigating Joe's disappearance. To them, this was a case closed. It's alleged that they told the Pickert family that Joe had likely parked his car there, walked over to the nearby bridge, and jumped off of it. They say that his body would likely show up in the water.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, If you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy. And order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah,
all for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle, available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Within a few months. It should be noticed that the police did a short search of Joe's apartment with his sister, Shauna, and they reported that everything appeared to be in its place. But Shauna would say that the search was very brief, no more than 3 minutes long. So really, they searched out a protocol as part of their process, but they weren't really looking for anything. All of Joe's personal belongings were left behind at his apartment when he vanished, with the exception of his wallet and car keys, neither of which have ever been recovered. And while the police were quick to end their investigation and label this as a suicide, there are quite a few red flags here that could point to the contrary. Of course, number one was that the friends he was with the evening before he went missing said he was in good spirits. We never truly know what a person is thinking, feeling, or going through. So that's not to say that a person who appears to be happy won't go on to take their life. Still, it is something that should be considered. His family did not believe he was depressed or suicidal at the time of his disappearance. According to the Charlie Project, search dogs were used to try and find Joe. Yet they did not trace his scent to the bridge, where police say they think he jumped. And his body has never been recovered. It didn't wash up within a few months as police said it would. It's been 16 years now, and his body has still not been recovered. The police released Joe's car to the Pickler family, and they noticed a few odd things that they reported to the police. One being what appeared to be vomit on the floorboard of the car on the passenger side. The other being cards from Magic the Gathering game that was strung out all over the car. They claimed that the most valuable cards Joe owned were missing from the ones all over the car. The vomit was never tested for DNA. The car has never been forensically analyzed in any way by the police. It just sat in the Pickler driveway, not being driven for years. Allegedly, the Pickler family has also discovered some big red flags back at Joe's apartment when they went to go clean it out. They believe that it had been robbed. Again, there were magic cards thrown all around Joe's apartment, but the expensive rare cards were missing from the collection. And again, they reported this to the police. However, the police never came back to the apartment to look for evidence, to test for blood, or fingerprints, or anything like that. Now, what about that letter, or the suicide note? Joe's family is adamant that it was not a suicide letter, and that Joe was known to write poetry. I've scoured the internet trying to find a copy of this letter, and I haven't been successful. But I've read comments made by people who have seen the letter, and they stated it looks like a piece of paper with things jotted down, the direction of the writing is in several directions, and even the words do not appear to be suicidal. There is also no goodbye written in the letter. According to people who have seen it, the writing doesn't even appear to be written at the same time. It looks like he wrote things at different times, and it was found stashed in his car, underneath other items, not in a place immediately notable. I've seen several sources online that say that 5 months after Joe's car was found, his friend Justin came forward to confirm that the letter was not a suicide note, and in fact, he and Justin had written the poem together. This is all alleged because I can't find any specific source to back it up. There's also allegations made by Joe's mother, Kathy, that a few months after Joe disappeared, his ex-girlfriend came to visit with her at her home and she let a piece of information slip, that she and another girl had gone to Joe's abandoned car that was left behind the restaurant to remove any items that might embarrass the family. But the police had already found it. Kathy asked the ex how she knew where the car was and she wouldn't respond. It's also alleged that she had a second set of keys to Joe's car, which could mean something or nothing at all. And that's why I'm not even going to name her here. This is all alleged, and you can find the information floating around on several sites that have since been archived, including Web Sleuths and a website that Kathy has created. It's unclear if any of those details are significant to Joe's disappearance, and that's simply because the police have not really done a thorough investigation here. It seems to me, in my opinion, that they believed this to be a suicide right off the bat, and so they stopped putting any time or resources into it. Again, Joe's car was never examined, and neither was his apartment. There was never a search for any DNA or fingerprints, and there were several people he was close to and had spoken to just prior to his disappearance that was never interviewed. Joe's mother, Kathy, has also expressed her frustration with the investigation, or lack thereof. She wrote about it on the Surviving Parents Coalition website in 2011, and as far as I know, Joe Pickler's case is still labeled as an endangered missing teen. If he were still alive today, he would be 37 years old, but there is really no indication that he is still alive. If we take that supposed suicide note off the table because it has since been debunked, as his friend Justin said they wrote it as poetry together, if we leave that out of the equation, there aren't really any other indicators to suggest a suicide. And that's the biggest reason I wanted to cover this story. I believe there is strong possibility that Joe was met with foul play, and his family deserves to have answers. It's still an ongoing investigation, although I'm sure it's on the back burner with so many other recent disappearances taking priority. Joe has a small scar on his nose and another on his forehead, as well as a distinctive red Star Wars tattoo on his inner right forearm. If you have any information regarding Joe Pickler's disappearance, you're asked to contact the Bremerton Police Department at 360-473-5228. Before we wrap up our episode this week, we'd like to take a time to highlight our sponsor of the episode, and that's Audible. I want to tell you about something that's going to take your love for storytelling to the next level, and that's Audible. With Audible, you can explore an unmatched library of audiobooks, podcasts, and exclusive originals, all available at your fingertips. Whether you're into gripping mysteries, thrilling true crime, or even self-help to power through your day, Audible has something for everyone. And here's the best part. Just for my viewers and listeners, Audible is offering a free 30-day trial. Just head over to audibletrial.com/Larry21 to get started. You'll get one free audiobook that you can keep forever, even if you cancel your Audible Premium subscription. I'm currently listening to The Stranger Beside Me by Anne Rule. It's an incredible deep dive into the mind of Ted Bundy. And trust me, you don't want to miss it. So what are you waiting for? Go to audibletrial.com/Larry21, grab your free audiobook, and start exploring today. And with that, we'd like to remind you to give us a thumbs up if you like our video. Hit that subscribe button down below, that shiny subscribe button. And hit the bell notification button to be notified of future episodes. And we want to know your thoughts on this case in the comments section below. Do you think he's still alive, or do you think he was met with foul play? Let me know. And of course, if you want to support the channel even more, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS. As always, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.
You have been listening to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. Thank you for listening. You can follow us on Facebook at True Crime Never Sleeps podcast and on Twitter at True Crime NS. And follow us on Instagram at True Crime Never Sleeps. Thanks for watching. If you want to support the show, buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS or become a patron at patreon.com/TrueCrimeNeverSleeps.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.